President Bush is in Vietnam for the annual meeting of Asian and Pacific Rim countries. He met with the Australian Prime Minister today to discuss possible new approaches to the war in Iraq. The president said he assured John Howard that the U.S. would not leave until Iraq can govern, sustain, and defend itself.
Today we conclude our week of conversations about the way forward in Iraq. We've heard arguments for more U.S. advisors, more U.S. combat troops, for partitioning the country into three regions, and for keeping troops there for more than a decade. William Polk says the U.S. would be better off pulling out altogether and right away. Polk has worked for the State Department and has long studied the Middle East. His newest book is co-written with former Senator George McGovern. It's called Out of Iraq. He says there's no question that the U.S. could complete a withdrawal in about 6 months.
The question is whether it's wise or smart to do it. And if you can do it, or if you should do it, then you probably ought to do it pretty fast. There's no reason to linger if you've decided to get out. But what I found particularly was, having done a series of studies of other guerrilla wars, that what happens when you withdraw is that the war dies down, because in a very famous analogy, Mao Zedong a long time ago talked about the fish in the water. He said the guerrillas are the fish, and the water is the general population. And if the general population decides that they have won enough of what they've been after, then they stop supporting the fish, because the fish are annoying, demand things from them, and so forth. So they want to get back to their normal lives. And my hunch is, looking at, for example, Algeria, where I was head of the American government mission that tried to help the French get out of Algeria, no sooner had the French left than the war died out. That happened in Yugoslavia, it happened in Greece, it happened in one after another of the major guerrilla wars.
Are those exact parallels, though? Because in this case, they're not just attacking us. There are sectarian factions fighting each other in what's considered to be a civil war now.
Well, that usually happened in all the guerrilla wars, not to the same horrible extent of violence as in Iraq. The longer you stay, the more terrible those situations are. But it's not going to be a simple thing. It's not like turning a light switch. It's going to be a period of chaos. So we have proposed, for example, that we help the Iraqi government to hire an international police force, probably made up of people from other Muslim countries, who would work for the government, for the Iraqi government, and would leave after a period of 2 years. But they would be a kind of a shock absorber between our leaving and the time that the Iraqi government, or whatever government is in Iraq at the time, can assume all the policing. They would not fight the insurgents. They would not be armed with B-2 bombers and F-16s and tanks and so forth. They would really be a police force.
And you think the countries that you're mentioning would have an interest in supplying that police force?
Well, if you look at the history of the United Nations forces in the past, some very unlikely candidates have come forward to do that, and we're suggesting that they be paid for doing it, and that probably there would be an incentive for them to do it, because they would develop a warm relationship with Iraq, which is going to be one of the world's major producers of petroleum. So that various other countries, Pakistan, for example, would, I think, be very keen to do it.
You said earlier it was your hunch that if U.S. forces left, that the civil war would die down. What if that's not the case? What if there is the bloodbath that many predict, and that neighboring countries, Syria and Iran, look at this as an opportunity of, hey, there's a vacuum, we're going in, and it gets much more complicated?
We don't know the answers to all those things. But there is no reason to believe that any other country is likely to be involved in Iraq except for Turkey. The Turks have traditionally been opposed to having Kurdistan be independent. So our hope is that Iraq would hold together as a country. And it would be smart for the Kurds to do that, to recognize that they're safer if they stay in an Iraq than if they try to be independent. The Syrians don't have the capacity to move in. The Persians have expressed no interest in doing so. And the Persians' supposed allies in Iraq, the Shia community, are divided into three parts, which generally have not been favorable to Iran intervening in their affairs. Most of Saddam Hussein's army, in fact, were made up of Shias who fought against Iran.
How does the scenario that you're describing, with a quick and decisive U.S. withdrawal, how does that not become construed as a terrorist victory? They've said before, look, we struck in Beirut, the U.S. left Lebanon. We struck in Somalia. The U.S. left Somalia. How is this not the same thing?
I think it's possible that many people will say that it is, but it seems to me that they now believe that they have won the war anyway. What's unique about America is that we have the power and the wealth and the experience and so forth to admit that we made a mistake. Very few other countries do, and I think the world will respect us more for it.
This administration, though, has staked its identity on winning in Iraq, as they put it, and creating a democratic state in Iraq as part of a broader goal toward democracy in the Middle East.
It has indeed, and I don't think either one of those are sensible positions. There's no such thing as victory in this war in Iraq. Our military people almost uniformly now admit that we can fight all the battles, but we can't win the political battle. And if you read the various things that our generals and even field commanders, there's one young man I read about who was a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps out in one of the Iraqi provinces, and he said, you know, we've lost this area. We no longer have any real entree here. And I think that the idea that we're going to create democracy, there's no place in the world where a foreign power comes in and creates democracy. Democracy is like a plant. It doesn't grow from the top down. It grows from the roots up.
Have you and Senator McGovern had any audience with anybody in a position to make policy on this, with the Baker Commission, with congresspeople, with anyone in the administration, or are you voices in the foreign policy wilderness?
I don't honestly know the answer to that. We'll find out fairly soon. We have talked to a lot of people. What we have found is that everybody that we have talked to wants to try to find answers, and that we have provided a plan. It certainly is not perfect. No plan that I've ever seen or ever had anything to do with was. But it provides a starting point for people to talk about what we might do. And we find a great deal of interest among congressmen and various others in hearing more about it.
William Polk, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, ma'am, very much.
William Polk is co-author, along with George McGovern, of Out of Iraq, A Practical Plan for Withdrawal Now. You can hear all of this week's interviews about the way forward in Iraq at npr.org.